What kind of man welcomes the company of the hurting, helpless, and the hopeless?
What kind of a man can heal the pain with a single soft touch?
What kind of a man multiplies hope and freedom as easily as he does fish and bread?
Who else can turn our dusty old religion into a brand new relationship?
What kind of man would claim to be God in the flesh, but then allow that same flesh to be torn apart?
What kind of a man would embrace betrayal?
Insults.
Torture.
Mockery.
And death.
And yet, live to tell about it.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who could speak with such authoritative words and yet drench them with compassion?
Who could be strong enough to still the storms, yet be so meek and humble?
Who could allow the hands that created the universe to also be nailed into a wooden cross?
Who could choose patience despite deserving immediate and complete obedience?
Who could be blameless and without fault, but still endure the judgment others deserve?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who will love us like him?
Who will be with us when all others have left?
Who comforts us in suffering?
Who is our peace in the midst of anxiety?
Who reassures me when my mind is drowning in doubt?
Who accepts me as I am, with no strings attached?
Who else would die for me while I was sinking in sin?
Who else can turn the grave into Easter morning?
Nobody.
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 Nobody but Jesus.
Tonight we're starting a new series here at Worship Unquote, and it's all about Easter. And kind of what we're doing is we're kind of walking our way through the Easter story. And we're kind of looking at how Jesus responded and reacted to his experience with the Easter story and what that means for us as we live our lives now, years after the Easter story actually happened. And so my question tonight we're talking about the preparation. How did Jesus prepare for the Easter story? And so my question for you tonight is, how do you prepare for stuff? How do you do, what do you do to prepare for a big event? All right, so here's my thought. Maybe you are in sports. I know there are some of you that are into sports, and maybe before the game, every single time you pop in your earbuds or put on your headphones and you listen to your pump-up song. Like, that's just your routine. It's what you do. You listen to your pump-up song. Maybe you've got a big test coming up and you've studied and you've got your note cards, and so you go in and you sit down at your desk, and before your test, you make sure you look over your notes one last time and you study those note cards. Maybe before you go on stage for a concert or for a play, you warm up your voice, you run your lines, you get dialed in, you get focused, you make sure that you are fully prepared for the event that is about to take place. So, think of an event in your life that you have experienced or will experience or experience relatively routinely, and ask yourself this question: what do you do to prepare for the big event? Because my guess is that if you look at what you do to prepare, you do some pretty out of the ordinary things to make sure that you are prepared for that event. My guess is that you do some pretty out of the ordinary things to make sure that you are prepared, because here's the truth: preparation before the event communicates the event's importance. Preparation before the event communicates how important that event actually is. For example, you get ready to go to play your game. When you would normally be listening to the radio, or you would normally be talking to friends on the bus, but when it's a big game, you do something out of the ordinary. You pop in your headphones. You ignore the world around you. You make sure you're dialed into the game. When you get ready to go on stage, normally you would be excited and, you know, maybe at practice or all the things leading up to the big choir concert or the play on stage, like you're talking with your friends, you're hanging out, but now you're warming up your voice, you're dialing in, you're making sure that you're prepared. Maybe it's before the test and you have spent weeks or the night before studying for this test and you've written down your notes and you've got your note cards, and normally you would go in, you would sit down at your desk, you would talk to your friends, but now you're doing something out of the ordinary and you're studying your notes. You're making sure you're prepared, because preparation communicates what is about to happen is super important. At our house, we have chickens. You guys probably know that. I've mentioned that a time or two. And one of the things that we like to do with our chickens is we like to go to chicken shows. We like to show chickens. Now, on a normal day, our chickens are pretty spoiled. We go out, we make sure that our chickens have clean food. We make sure they have fresh water. We make sure they're well taken care of. We even go out and we talk to the chickens. We may pet the chickens, hold the chickens. We have a goose right now that's laying eggs, and she gets super affectionate when she lays eggs. Like, we'll be doing the water, she'll come up and just nip at your leg until you like pet her. We got super spoiled chickens. But before a show, we go super extraordinary. Before a show, we will start weeks early pulling out our binder that is just our chicken show binder. And in this binder, there are pages typed and there are postcards and note cards with definitions and words and things that we need to know for showmanship that our kids study. And they study every single day for weeks in advance to prepare for this chicken show. About 3 days before a chicken show, we take each and every bird we're going to show and we give them a bath. Now, I know this sounds weird, but we give the chickens a bath. We make sure that we dip them in the water and we make sure their feathers are all nice and clean. We make sure their feet are clean. We take toothbrush to their feet to make sure all the dirt and grime is off of their feet and they're washed and they're clean. We make sure that we clip all of their toenails. We even clip their beak because we need to make sure their beak is the right length. We make sure we file down all of their toenails and their beak. And then we put like a lotion type substance on their comb and their wattle and their earlobes to make sure that it is moisturized and red. It's like they get a day at the spa because they are getting ready to go to a chicken show. Now, it takes all day or an afternoon to make sure that these chickens are ready to go for a chicken show. But we do this because we know realistically we've got maybe 5 chicken shows a year. They're important. We need to make each and every chicken show count. And we want to make sure that we are as prepared as possible and ready to go for these chicken shows. Because preparation before an event communicates the importance of that event. For the important things in your life, you are going to spend some time preparing for those things. For the important things in your life, you are going to spend some time preparing for those things. In John chapter 13, Jesus sits down with his disciples to celebrate the Passover. Now, Passover may be something you've heard of. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but it is a feast, a celebration that the Jewish people celebrate. And Jesus, in the original culture that he grew up in, he grew up as a Jew. So he would celebrate the Passover every single year. Not a big deal. It's just something they did. Well, it was kind of a big deal because they took steps to prepare for the Passover that were out of the ordinary. They did all kinds of stuff to prepare for the Passover meal that they were going to eat together. And just like they would every year, Jesus and his disciples would prepare for this Passover meal. So the disciples went to Jesus and were like, Jesus, where do we go to prepare for this Passover meal? And Jesus tells them about this upper room. We've known it now as the Last Supper. We don't call it the Passover meal anymore. We call it the Last Supper. Jesus says, go to this upper room and make all the preparations. So the disciples go and they prepare. They prepare for this meal. And they make sure that everything is ready to go. But Jesus does something unexpected and ordinary extraordinary at this meal. He makes this meal a preparation for a future event that is about to come. You see, he took the meal that was already something special, already something that they had gone the extra mile, they'd done extraordinary things to prepare for it, and he took that meal and made it preparation for the cross and all that it would mean for humanity for eternity. It was like what Jesus, excuse me, what Jesus was communicating is what's about to happen. The reason that we celebrate Easter is such an important event. It deserves double the preparation. It deserves double the preparation. And so in John chapter 13, verses 2 through 5, Jesus says this. Jesus and his disciples were sharing the evening meal. The devil had already provoked Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew the Father had given everything into his hands and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robes, picking up a linen towel, he tied it around his waist, and then he poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he was wearing. And Jesus knew that there was this huge event that was about to happen. And in preparation for this huge event, he did something that was completely out of the ordinary. He washed his disciples' feet. Now, this was completely out of the ordinary for one reason. Not the fact that he washed his disciples' feet. That wasn't the reason that it was out of the ordinary. The reason that this was out of the ordinary was because Jesus was the one that washed their feet. See, foot washing was a relatively common practice at this point in history. The people of this time would walk everywhere, and they would walk in sandals, and the roads were made of dirt. And so you can imagine what happens to feet while walking in sandals on roads made of dirt. They got grimy and gross. And let's just put it this way. When I am on like CIY and I do a lot of walking and I'm walking in sandals, now it may just be me. My wife says I have hobbit feet. And she's probably right. My feet are big and hairy and kind of gross. But here's my question. And if you don't want to admit this, it's totally fine. When I walk a lot in sandals, I get this like white film that forms between my foot and the sandal. And it's like this mixture of sweat and dirt and grime. And you are looking absolutely, completely grossed out right now. It's gross. I'll admit it. It's really gross. And I can imagine, like, all right, I get that when I'm walking on sidewalks. What would my feet be like if I were walking on dirt roads? Like, it would just be gross. And so the common practice was you would enter a house, and there would be this person that would wash your feet. The thing was, the person that was supposed to wash your feet, excuse me, was the lowest servant in the household. It was a job that was meant for the low man on the totem pole. So what happens is, Jesus, as the most important person in the room, stands up and wraps a towel around himself. Now, here's my question. I wonder in that moment what the disciples were thinking. I wonder if they were like, oh no. Oh no, he's not. He's not. And they're like looking at each other like, oh, I should have been the one to do that. Like, I knew I should have been the one to step up and do that. Like, Jesus shouldn't be washing my feet. Jesus shouldn't be what? No, no, no. Ugh, I knew I should have stepped up. Because they all recognize the most important person in the room, they don't wash feet. They're above that. It's the people that are lower that go to the most important person in the room and say, hey, You are so worth this. Let me wash your feet and make sure you are ready for dinner. And here's what I love about this. Jesus does this all the time. He flipped the script. And what the disciples didn't realize at that time, in that moment, was Jesus was doing more than just washing the dirt and grime and disgustingness off of their feet. Yes, even Judas. He was saying, right now, I'm washing the dirt and grime off your feet. And I'm communicating to you that you are worth this. You are worth me doing this for you. But this is just preparation. This is just preparation for what's going to happen over the next few days. And over the next few days, you're going to understand that while right now I'm just washing physical dirt and grime off your feet, what I'm preparing you for is the understanding and the realization that when I decide to go to the cross willingly, I'm washing all of the dirt and the grime off your soul. And as I go to that cross, I'm communicating, you are so worth this. You are so worth me taking your soul into my hands and washing it clean so that I can be with you. You see, if preparation communicates the importance of the event, Jesus took this moment that was already seen as an important event because it was already prepared for, and he turned it into preparation for an even more important event that was going to happen over the next few days. This out of the ordinary moment was used to signify the importance of this upcoming event. And Jesus' preparation wasn't just for the disciples. This moment of foot washing was meant for me and you too. And as we walk toward Easter this year, we can remember that Jesus prepared this. And as he looks at our lives, he still looks at us and says, listen, I chose that cross for you. And he may not be here physically to walk up to us and wrap a towel around his waist and kneel down and wash our feet physically. But he is here to say, I'm washing your soul. And you are so worth me washing your soul. And the beauty of this moment is that Jesus is washing our soul. And we have the opportunity to continue to live out that foot washing event. We have that opportunity to continue to prepare others' lives for what Jesus wants to do in them. I love that Jesus drives home this point shortly after washing the disciples' feet. If you go a little bit further in John 13, he says this. 34 and 35, he says, I give you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, so also you must love each other. This is how everyone will know you are my disciples, when you love each other. Jesus was saying, listen, I'm preparing you for this incredible event, and this incredible event that's going to happen is not just something that is going to be limited to the next few days. This next event that's going to happen is going to be something that lasts generations, that lasts eternity. This event is something that's going to continue from person to person to person to person to person. And so as you and I prepare for Easter, as you and I walk toward Easter Sunday, we can continue to live out the preparation that Jesus lived out that night at the Last Supper, the Passover meal, with his disciples. And we can love other people. We can go to other people and we can say, listen, let me communicate your value. Because Jesus communicated value to me, and I want to prepare you. He prepared me. I want to prepare you so that you can recognize how valuable you are in Jesus. That he wants you to be with him. That he said, you are so worth everything that I went through. We have the opportunity to continue to live out this moment of preparation. Preparation communicates the importance of the event. And Jesus said, this event is so important that I want it to continue. I'm washing your feet now. I want you to go and love people the same way. Because I'm preparing you to love them. And then you go and you love them and introduce them to me. And when you do that, you're preparing them to go love other people. And they will wash other people and love other people. And they will introduce other people to me. And they will go and prepare other people until it comes to us today in the year 2025, where we have the opportunity to prepare some people to experience the love of Jesus. Listen, how do we tangibly, practically prepare people to experience the love of Jesus? I don't suggest sitting down and washing someone's feet. That would just be weird today. But that moment was pretty extraordinary. It's pretty out of the ordinary for the most important person in the room to do something that was meant for the least important person. We have opportunities every single day where people look to us as more important. We have opportunities where we can communicate that we are willing to step down and show love. We are willing to serve. We are willing to say, listen, I've experienced this incredible love. I just want you to experience it too. And do some extraordinary things to show people around us that they're loved by Jesus. Because here's the deal. There are people that you pass every single day. There are people that you walk past, people that you see, people that are a part of your teams and your clubs, people that are a part of your school and your friendship circles that are desperate to experience true love. They're looking for it everywhere. They're chasing it with everything that they have. And we have the opportunity to do some extraordinary things to show people love. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be massive. It just needs to be out of the ordinary. And so what does that look like? Maybe that looks like you're on the field and normally you're like, hey, all the underclassmen, middle schoolers, go pick up all the equipment. And you're like, you know what, guys? Come on, let's go pick it up together. Maybe you are on the stage and you've got all the little kids running around that everybody just kind of ignores. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to go hang out with them. Maybe you're in the lunchroom and you see that person that always sits alone. And so you talk to your friends and you're like, guys, today we're going to go sit with them. Doesn't have to be massive. Very small things can be out of the ordinary to express love to the people around us. Maybe you've got a little sibling that drives you bananas, but just wants to hang out with you. And so this week you're like, let's hang out. What is it you want to do? And all of a sudden your little sibling feels like the most important person in the world. It's the little things that are out of the ordinary that express Jesus' love. And listen, when we do that, we are preparing them to experience the true love of Jesus. And they are experiencing that true love of Jesus through us. So, here's the challenge. This week, prepare for Easter by doing one out of the ordinary action to love someone around you with the love of Jesus. Prepare for Easter by doing one out of the ordinary action. Maybe it's helping someone in the hallway that dropped their stuff when you would normally walk on by. Maybe it's noticing someone that's struggling with their grocery cart when you're shopping with your parents, and you go over and you just help them lift their groceries into the car. Ask them first. So it says it weird. But there are small things that we can do every single day that can express love and express the true love of Jesus. And you guys, that's why in the first century, his kingdom exploded. Because everybody recognized, I am so loved, I am so valuable. I just want everybody else to experience that same thing with the love of Jesus. So this week, what is that one thing that you can do that's out of the ordinary to express love, the love of Jesus, to someone in your life? Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for tonight. And God, I just thank you for going to the